What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life.
Good morning. Okay, how many of you are Saturday night people, but you cut out for Valentine's Day? Was it worth it? I'm just kidding. That's awesome. My name's Josh, and I am one of the pastors here, and I am fresh. Don't be jealous now. I'm fresh back from a trip to Thailand, of all places. And I am, again, I just want to thank our elders for permitting me that time to go and do that ministry, and for Pastor Matthew McPherson Farrell for bringing the word last weekend. Happy for him. And I want to tell you about the trip, but we have no time and need to jump into our new series, which I'm really, really stoked about, called Elemental. And what we're going to do over these next 4 weeks is look at the core elements of the things we do when we gather here together in corporate worship. You might come in week after week and you're just used to stuff and haven't taken the time to think, why is it that we do that? You might be new and really scratching your head, why do we do that? And of all the topics, this morning's is one that can raise some questions, because we're talking about baptism. Why do we baptize? Why do churches put tanks of water in the front, invite people to come, get in the water, talk a little bit, and then be submerged by someone they might not even know that well, trusting they're going to bring them back up, and do that in front of thousands? Why on earth do we do that? The cheeky answer is because Jesus told us to. In Matthew 28, as he was getting ready to go up, he gave the church a few little instructions. He said, go into all the world, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them all that I have commanded. And Jesus asking us to do something is a really good reason. But practically, the way baptism played out in the New Testament, you don't see a believer in the New Testament who had the opportunity to be baptized say no. Time and time again, every believer throughout the New Testament, having the chance, took the plunge. So much so that if you're a believer, you haven't been baptized, and a New Testament believer kind of came in and sat down beside you this morning, they would just totally be like, what's up with that? Well, really, what's your deal? You got to do this. It's how they viewed it. It was synonymous with being a believer, you get baptized. Maybe because it was so commonplace, like it just was happening so much. They were believed and baptized. They repented and baptized, 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 baptized. There's actually not one passage that lays out, well, here's what you do when you have a baptism service. It's like all the people were so familiar with it, they thought, well, we don't even write it down. At its core, baptism is an identification with, it's a declaration of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's for people who acknowledge Christ as their Savior, believing in what he did on the cross, that he died and was buried and rose again. The people who believe that were the ones that went forward and got baptized. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at Romans chapter 6. And it's a little... Well, Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is teaching about the Christian life. And what he does is in teaching about the Christian life, he uses baptism as his illustration to back up his point. Because everybody had been baptized. He's like, hey, remember when you were baptized? The Christian life is like this. What we're going to do is we're going to come at it from the other side. See, we know a lot about the Christian life because we got the whole New Testament. We know what Romans chapter 6 is going to teach us. And so we're going to use all that to try to understand a little bit more about why they thought baptism was so important and what it meant to be baptized. And hopefully, if you haven't already, I think we've been praying that this might be the morning that's going to put you over the edge. Okay. And that you'd make that decision for yourself if you know Christ. We've got lots of other people who made that decision, and they're excited to share their story with you today. But before we jump in, let's, if we could, just kind of pray briefly. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can gather as a community. And Lord, I thank you that you gave us direction. You told us to do things as we gather. And so, not just this morning, but in the weeks to come, I pray that you would give weight to these things that we spend so much time focusing on, and that they would be used to bring glory to Jesus Christ. In your name, amen. Well, turn to Romans chapter 6 if you're a note taker. This is profound. Being a Christian makes a difference. You believe that? This is what Paul kind of tees up right out of the gate. Being a Christian makes a difference in our lives. And again, you'll see he uses baptism as that illustration. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who have died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So Romans chapter 6 begins with Paul answering the question that some of his detractors had been throwing down. See, they were scratching their head because Paul kept teaching this gospel, you're saved by grace. And they were like, hold on, you're telling me that anything wrong we do, that God forgives us all that? Yeah. Okay, so where's the incentive to not do wrong? If we do what you're saying, it's going to be anarchy. Everyone's going to be sinning. It's going to be a train wreck. You're crazy. Paul's like, no, I'm not. Now, fact, we're not supposed to keep on sinning. He'll get to that. But fact, we are saved by grace through faith. You might have stumbled in here for whatever reason, and you have a long list of naughty things that you've done in your past, and you this very day, this very hour, could ask Jesus to forgive you your sin, and he's faithful and just to do just that. You don't have to do anything else. It's absolutely and totally by grace, through faith, that we're saved. But does that mean you can continue doing your naughty stuff? By no means. Paul's like, how could we do that? Verse 2, by no means. How can we who have died to sin still live in it? He uses the picture of death because there's not much more of a stark difference between living things and dead things, is there? He's trying to throw it down in a really clear way. You've got a living cat and a dead cat. They're different, right? And which do you want? Right? Am I right? They're different. Some of you look really upset. It's just a joke about cats. But it's a stark difference, isn't it? Living things and dead things. He's like, how could we continue on in sin? We're dead to it. Completely change the game. We don't continue in sin. And he's assuming this holds true for all of us. You see him sort of tip his hat in verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? What he could say, writing to these dudes, everyone's nodding. Well, yes, I know we've been baptized. We've been baptized into his death. We don't have the same thing because not everybody today gets baptized. But he says baptized into his death because for them and throughout the New Testament, baptism was by immersion. You know, you see times where they went into the water. That's why we build a tank deep enough for the most average height person to be able to go right under. We had a dude before, I had to get on his knees, the big guy. Anyways, if you grew up in a tradition where they sprinkle We're not going to arm wrestle over it. I mean, that's it seems to us that the pattern in the New Testament was immersion. And so that's why here at Woodman, that's why we do immersion. Verse 4 is where it gets a little interesting, because Paul says we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And what is sort of cause for pause and kind of makes you go, is he says baptized with him. See, a lot of people kind of think of it as not, aren't we baptized like him? It's a symbol, right? And Paul's like, well, it's a little more than a symbol. We are baptized with him. And in the New Testament, the early church, it was like a package deal. You know, you had, if you were a Christian, there was things that were assumed of you, that you had faith, that you had repented of your sin and asked Jesus to forgive you, that you had the Holy Spirit in you, and that you'd been baptized. They just didn't have the category for the dude that was like, I have faith, I've asked Jesus to forgive me my sins, I have the Holy Spirit, but man, I'm not into baptism. And so the question becomes today, well then what part does baptism play exactly? And you know what? I don't know. Historically, there's been a lot of debate. You go on one side of the continuum, if you grew up Catholic, Catholics are like, you have to be baptized to be saved. If you're like, well, I don't want that. Well, you have to be baptized to be saved. And then the Protestants on the other side of the continuum, and rightly so, are like, no, we're saved by grace through faith. If you tell me someone has to be baptized, well, now that's an activity that we're doing. That's not grace. It's absolutely what God does for us. But taking that, some people are like, so baptism is just like a symbol. It's like a, it's a good thing, but it's not like a necessary thing. And Paul's like, we are baptized with him. And so it is saved by grace, but baptism's a little more than just a jersey. You know, you got fans of a team. Some people are ardent fans, know all the stuff, but they're like, I'm not spending that much money on a jersey. And then you have other fans that are like, jersey, hat, beer cans. Ah! Baptism isn't the jersey. Baptism's the expectation for believers. That's for if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. It's not dealer's choice. It's what Christians do. It makes a difference. We're now in newness of life, and baptism is an identification with his death, and it's a declaration of new life. And that's what Paul goes on to kind of spell out. He gives two implications of this. The first one is we're now dead to sin in Christ. Verse 6. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, when he talks about his old self, he's not referring to you in the 70s when you were trim. He's talking about who we were in Adam. Every single one of us is a descendant of Adam. As such, we've inherited sin, we've inherited corruption, we've inherited guilt, and we have done the naughty things to prove it. Paul's like, that self, that old self, that person who was under sin in Christ, dead. Done. That's why baptism by immersion is such a powerful picture. As we take you and we put you under the water, that's a picture of death. Now, we don't literally kill you in baptism. The goal is to come back up, but you are identifying. In baptism, you're identifying with my old self, my sinful self under Adam that had no hope. By God's grace, Jesus has put that to death. And it's final. I've been set free. I'm now alive in Christ. Verse 8. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. Jesus was crucified, and he died, but he didn't stay dead. He was crucified and died, but God raised him up from the dead, and he will never die again. Jesus, in dying on the cross, he took sin upon himself. He conquered our sin for us and did what we could never do. And now, as he lives, Paul's like, he lives for God. We've died with Christ. We believe that we will also live with him. Because Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. It's weird to think about, but it's really, really true that during his earthly life, Jesus was subject to sin. But unlike you and I, he never did sin. But when Jesus lived on earth, he was tempted just like you and I were. Difference being, he never gave in. But now he took that sin on, he conquered, he died, he rose again, and now he lives solely for God. In that death, sin has no dominion over him. He stands in the presence of God right now. How much does Jesus face temptation today? None. None more temptation. It's done. The death he died, he now lives for God and free from that. In baptism, we identify with his death, but we come back up and declare by faith our future. And it is for the child of God an already and a not yet sort of thing. We already, as Christians today, can live for God, can honor God, but we still sort of sin sometimes, right? But one day we're going to leave this earth and be with Christ in heaven, facing how much temptation? None. It will be done. We live in this already not yet thing. So a really simplistic illustration of it, that if you push too hard, it'll fall apart, so don't do that. But you think of the gal that gets engaged, right? Remember, no ring, no thing. But once there's that ring, you're hoping she's not dating other guys, right? Because if she is, you're sitting your buddy down and being, I don't think she's that into you. You're wanting to see a commitment, you're wanting to see a devotion, and you're looking forward to a day when they will be married. So for the child of God today, we're committed, we're devoted, we're gonna stumble, we're gonna fall, and one day we'll be with him, not facing the trials and temptations that so often drag us away. We can now live for Christ and are committed. One day it will be final and finished. Baptism's a picture of all these things. It's an identification with his death. It's a declaration of his resurrection. And we, partakers of it. The question becomes, what are you? And that's where Paul, writing to a group of people that had all been baptized, and me reading it to a group of people who maybe haven't, it gets a little, well, it's just different. Verse 11, he says, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. See, he's using their baptism as the illustration to give them hope for the Christian life. You were baptized, right? Yes. You went down and died to sin, right? Yes. You came up, right? Yes. Go live that. Some of you consider yourselves dead to sin. You consider yourself alive in Christ, but you can't look back at your baptism as a source of encouragement because you haven't done it. And this already not yet thing is a tension. And I think the Lord likes us to have that moment that we can look back at, say it's done. You know, Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was the pastor at Westminster Chapel for 30 years in London, he talked about it, he described it like this. Picture two like English fields with like huge walls enclosing both of the fields. And so there's no way to get out. They're just, the walls are too high, you can't scale them, and it's just, all of us, every single one of us, are born into one of those fields. And the field we're born into is the one that's ruled by Satan and dominated by sin. And that's where we start. And there's nothing you or I can do to get out of it. But God, in his grace through Jesus Christ, we ask for forgiveness. He reaches into that field and picks us up and drops us into the other field. This field, too, is enclosed by a wall. This field, too, you're not going to get out of. But this field isn't ruled by Satan and dominated by sin. This field's ruled by Christ and his righteousness. And there's nothing you can do to get out of it. You're there through his grace. But, as Lloyd-Jones points out, Satan, he calls over the walls. Remember the naughty thing you loved. It still would feel so great. And us hearing his voice and knowing we enjoyed it, we can still listen to him even though we're in the new field. And we stumble. Even though we don't have to, we choose to. One of my professors, this guy, Dr. Moo, which is an awesome name, is a biblical commentator, and he takes it one step further in his commentary on Romans, and he says he thinks of the Christian life. The Christian life is walking away from that wall. We spend our lives trying to get away from that voice, to tune that voice out, to not listen to that voice until God calls us home. And we don't hear it anymore. Baptism is a picture and a reminder of what God did for us. Do you consider yourself dead to sin and alive in God? If you say yes, you should be baptized. I know that we're like, well, not all of us, but the church folk. There was the thief on the cross, right? He believed in Jesus, and Jesus told him that he would be with him that day in paradise. Did he get baptized? He died on the cross, right? He didn't have time to get baptized, and where is he? He's in heaven. Yes, he is. That thief on the cross trusted in Jesus. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise, and the two of them are up there now. But you're not him. Right? You're here, breathing, living, and you have opportunity. What's the obstacle? You know, I heard stories of Muslims that had come to faith this past week. And for them to come to faith in Jesus, they have to come to grips with the fact that there's a strong possibility their family disowns them. Like, you don't exist to me. And in some cases, they come to faith in Jesus at risk of their very life. That's an obstacle. Heard stories of Buddhists. If you're familiar with them, they believe it's their job to care for their ancestors that have gone on into the next life, which is why throughout Southeast Asia, you'll see little sort of shrines and they'll put a pack of cigarettes or some rice because they think they're looking after grandma who's gone on and they're bringing her gifts to sustain her. So to come to faith in Jesus as a Buddhist, you got to look your mom in the eye and you got to tell her, when you die, I'm not looking out for you. You're on your own. It's to turn your back on all your relatives that have gone before you. That's an obstacle. Some of us don't want to get baptized because we don't want to get wet. That's not an obstacle. Some of us don't want to get baptized because we don't like being in front of people. That's not an obstacle. If you believe you're dead to sin and alive to God through Christ, you need to get baptized. Today, we have men and women who have declared their faith, and you're going to hear their stories, and you're going to see them. And each and every one is great cause for celebration. Not because their story's particularly great, but because each and every one represents his story and his victory and his activity in their life. And we've got more than one, but if we just had one, it would still be as awesome. And so each and every one we celebrate, and if you're watching me, you're like, what's the big deal? There's nothing better in the life of the church. And if you ask yourself, what's the big deal? I'm just telling you, you're not connecting the dots. You don't get it, and we would love to talk to you about it. Because this is that picture of Christ's death and resurrection on our behalf. And there's no greater good news the world has ever heard. And some of you claim you believe it, but you've never got it done. And I don't particularly care about why you haven't got it done. I just want to ask you, why don't you just do it today? We've got people in our little guest central counselor, Stone Chapel, walk across the parking lot. You do leave here, go downstairs. We got shorts and t-shirts. Just get it done. Woodman Heights, if you're in the atrium, it's even easier. Just turn around. They're right there. Auditorium, walk out the gym doors there. They're there. Shorts and t-shirts, all waiting. Get it done. In Acts 8, it's one of the funniest stories. There's this Ethiopian who's like riding down the street reading the scrolls of Isaiah. And Philip's like, do you know what you're reading there? He's like, not exactly. So can I hitch a ride? Philip hops in and starts unpacking the gospel to him. And they start passing this body of water. And the Ethiopian's like, water, what's stopping me from getting baptized? Philip's like, nothing. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you not been baptized before? We have water. And would love to get that done. There's nothing better in the church. And this is going to be a tremendous little time. So if you are queued up, we're excited to see you. If you're going to get baptized and making that decision right now during this next song, you can just make your way out. You'll see some counselors making their way out too. Go downstairs here, go to Guest Central Woodman Heights, and we will continue to worship our Lord together. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for who you are. We declare by faith our need for you, and we thank you for plucking us out of that field of death, and placing us in this field of hope and life and a future with you. God, for these men and women who have committed to share their story with us and to make their profession of faith through baptism, we pray you would just bless them. Use it to encourage our hearts. And for those who are here who just showed up because they go to church, but are now wrestling with this decision, and they're thinking, this is the craziest thing. I'm going to go put on some shorts I didn't bring. I'm going to get baptized. God, I pray that you would just strengthen towards that, and I pray our hearts would be full as we see your Spirit work in our lives, be magnified in our midst. Amen.